Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ushitva hastina pure, masan katipayan harihi, suradam cha vishokaya, swasush cha priya kamaya, ushitva hastina pure, Masan katipayan harihi. Suradam cha vishokaya. Svasush cha priya kamaya.
Translation. Sri Hari, Lord Sri Krishna, resided at Hastinapura for a few months to pacify his relatives and please his own sister, Subhadra. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna was to start for Dwaraka, his own kingdom, after the battle of Kurukshetra and Yudhisthira's being enthroned. But to oblige the request of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and to show special mercy to Bhishma Dev, Lord Krishna stopped at Hastinapura, the capital of the Pandavas. The Lord decided to stay, especially to pacify the aggrieved king, as well as to please Subhadra, sister of Lord Sri Krishna. Subhadra was especially to be pacified because she had lost her only son, Abhimanyu, who was just married. The boy left his wife, Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit. The Lord is always pleased to satisfy his devotees in any capacity. Only his devotees can play the parts of his relatives. The Lord is absolute. End of purport. So this is text 7 that now is directly addressing text 1. Text 1 is following chapter 9 where Bhishma Dev pacified Yudhisthira, gave instructions in the duties of a king, and then departed. The Kurukshetra battle is over. Bhishma Dev has departed. And then chapter 10 begins. The verse is Shonaka Muni asking, after killing his enemies who desired to usurp his rightful inheritance, how did the greatest of all religious men, Maharaj Yudhisthira, assisted by his brothers, rule his subjects? Surely he could not freely enjoy his kingdom with unrestricted consciousness. So, actually, the first part has been addressed. How did he rule his kingdom and rule his subjects? So, the nature of his and the quality of his ruling after he assumed the throne is described. So that's kind of like going into the future. Then the second question is, surely he could not freely enjoy his kingdom with unrestricted consciousness. It's not stated as a question, but how did he manage? Given the nature of Maharaj Yudhisthira, even before the Kurukshetra battle. He's a Kshatriya. Chivalry. Kshatriya. But in Mahabharata episodes where it was being considered what to do, of course, Bhima is there. But his position was, Duryodhana is doing a good job. He's good at managing the kingdom. Everything is going nicely. What's the problem? Of course, that's not the summum bonum of Dharma, obviously. Besides the fact that Krishna, wanted the battle, that's the pinnacle of Dharma, serving the desire of the personality of God, Dharmam hi sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So we can, on the one hand, say that Yudhisthira was impeccable in his application of the principles of Dharma. On the other hand, one can say, well, not exactly. Like, for example, when during the battle told to say what Krishna said, Abhimanyu is dead. Not Abhimanyu. Huh? Ashvatthama is dead. Yes, thank you. Ashvatthama is dead. So there's a discrepancy. Or Draupadi pointed out another discrepancy in front of the assembly. How is it that one of my five husbands can give me away and gamble me? Can anyone of you learned persons in this assembly say, is this a principle of Dharma? And there's layers of that. Because how can you gamble your wife away in a gambling match? And then she's married to five, not one. So how can one gamble her away? No one could answer, except for Vidura. Even Bhishmadev was mum. Kripacharya was mum, meaning he didn't say anything. Vidura said something. So this is on the side as of was Yudhisthira impeccable in his dharma? One might make an argument, well, that wasn't dharmic. How could he do that? Under the codes of dharma, how could he do that? So back on the dharmic side, you know, he performed the, because without his taking the lead, the other four brothers would not have participated. So he submitted because it was Krishna who wanted it, because for him, there's nothing other than what Krishna wants, and something that Krishna doesn't want, he's not going to do. That's our principle of living also. Should be our principle of living. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Or accept things favorable for devotional service, reject things unfavorable for devotional service. That's the principle of surrender. The first two principles of surrender. So if something is described in Nectar Devotion, the principle, the example of Pradyumna, Krishna's son, and the son of Rukmini. Pradyumna, the quality of Pradyumna was what? If Krishna wanted something, even if he didn't want that something, he would do that something because Krishna wanted that something. And if Krishna didn't want something, even he wanted that something, he wouldn't do that something because Krishna didn't want that something. That's the mood of service. And that mood of service applies to all rasas, not just sons. It's a mood of devotion that permeates or supports all other rasas, whatever Krishna wants. Even in the case where it seems that it's contrary, like Bhishma Dev fighting, and I'm going to kill Arjuna. Chivalry. The primary rasa of Bhishma Dev is dasya, but the secondary rasa is chivalry. So in a chivalrous mood, he took a position opposite that of Krishna. Extreme. First it was, I'll kill the five sons with these five arrows, and then Krishna made me break my promise, I'll make Krishna break his promise. I'm going to kill Arjuna. I take a vow that either Krishna breaks his promise or I'll kill Arjuna. So Krishna broke his promise to protect Arjuna. So that chivalry is supportive of servitude. Or Lalita and the intimate associates of Radha speaking heavy things to Krishna. Get out of here. Many leelas. Krishna was to meet with Radha. It was arranged by Vrinda Devi. So Radharani was waiting. And her attendants were preparing Radha's mood and just serving her very nicely. And Krishna hadn't come. And you know, one moment is 10,000 years or more. And they were waiting and waiting. You know, waiting for a bus or waiting for somebody or waiting. You know how long it takes? That's us. And then this is the gopis. And Krishna hadn't come. So Radha sent one of her messengers, Iduti. And the messenger went to find out, where is Krishna? And Radha's messenger met, I think, Shaibya, and said, have you seen Krishna? And Shaibya, in a haughty way, said, oh, well, your beloved Radha is just going to have to wait because Krishna is with Chandravali right now. So you can just go back and tell Radha, too bad. She's going to have to wait. So the messenger went back. And Radha was in anxiety, so she didn't want to say. So she spoke some very pleasing words. Oh, Radha, the most beloved of all the residents of Vrindavan, the most beloved of Krishna, etc., etc., I have some bad news. Krishna is with Chandravali. So I've been told to say you're going to have to wait. Radha became so angry. She said many things and she just got up and left. Krishna came. Get out of here. Radha doesn't even want to speak to you, doesn't want to see you. You're an untrustworthy person. We know what kind of person you are. Get out of here. In love, right? It enhances, it enriches the loving relation. Or Jatila and Katila, the so-called mother-in-law and sister-in-law, the so-called husband of Radha. Or the mother-in-law, sister-in-law of Radha, the so-called husband of Abhimanyu. Stopping the meeting of Radha and Krishna. When everyone else in Vrindavan is wanting to see the meeting of Radha and Krishna. But they're not. They're devotees, as this verse is saying, the concluding two sentences of the purport, which are, the Lord is always pleased to satisfy His devotees in any capacity. Only His devotees can play the parts of His relatives. The Lord is absolute. So even where Jatila and Katila are trying to stop the meeting of Radha and Krishna, it just strengthens the pleasure of meeting. So it looks like opposition, but actually it's enriching the pastimes. As Prabhupada says in the next purport, worldly people can't understand these things. Worldly people can't understand devotees, period. Like, you know, we're wasting our time. You're not out earning money. You're not, like, doing intense, fruitive activity. What's wrong with you? Come on, face the real world. And all those kinds of things that we hear from time to time. Either we hear them or hear about people saying those because they don't want to say it to us. So what to speak of the associates of Krishna? So Yudhisthira, even after the Kurukshetra battle, we know from the previous chapter, he was feeling very bad. It was difficult for him, although he was enthroned, because Krishna wanted him enthroned. It was difficult for him to rule, thinking, so much bloodshed, just so I could sit on a stupid throne. What an abominable person. So many persons have lost their lives, and so many wives without their husbands, so many children without their fathers. Oh, what an abominable person I am, so that I can rule the kingdom. How horrible, what a wretched person. So he was thinking like that. Of course, Bhishma Dev pacified him. And now he's ruling. But Krishna knew, but there's two parts, two words in the Sanskrit. Vishokaya Shoka. What does Shoka mean? Harsha, Shoka. Happiness and distress. Harsha, the opposites, like light and dark. Happiness and distress. Opposites, right? Harsha, Shoka. Happiness and distress. Vishokaya. Oh, very distressed. So, Suradam cha Vishokaya. He, Krishna, Hari, he stayed back in Hastinapur, in order to pacify Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira had already been pacified. But when something that's very, we all have this experience, it's natural. It's natural even for Krishna's devotees, what to speak of us, when something that's very traumatic happens, there's a big loss. Someone can say some pacifying words and then we can breathe again. But it lingers. So Krishna knew the heart of his devotee, Yudhisthira. So he stayed for a few months. Masan, plural, several months. Why? Just to be with Yudhisthira so that his heart could be pacified. Not a day, not a week, but a few months. Of course, Krishna's independent and he can do so many things, whatever he likes. But it was a loving exchange. Particularly with Yudhisthira. because he was the king and the elder brother. But one can expand that and say the other relatives. That's what Suradam means. Because they were also feeling as their elder brother was feeling. And it's natural, just like as Arjuna, in some places in the purports of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada condemns the mentality of Arjuna thinking in terms of the body. How can I enjoy the kingdom if all the persons who I would enjoy the kingdom with aren't around? That's not a very elevated. But on other times, he's a Vaishnava, so he's soft-hearted. So this is the soft-hearted side of the family, and the whole royal family. So many persons killed, massive war. Right. At the moment, I can't remember the numbers, but the number is in 18 days, so many people were killed that was equal to World War I and World War II or something like that. Something. Some huge number. Whew. Horrific. So Krishna stayed for a few months, to by his presence to pacify their hearts. So it tells us something about, you've heard the phrase, as above, so below. Whatever goes on with Krishna and his associates, it sets a standard for us. When there's a grieving situation, sometimes it's very beneficial, if circumstance permits in your life, you can just be present. I've learned this over the years. Sometimes some terrible calamity happens in a family, like within the devotee community. What they may not need is a Bhagavad Gita class on you're not the body. Some relative dies. It's true that they're not the body and the departed relative is not their body and all of that's true. But more importantly is to be with such persons during what's called a grieving period. Grieving a great loss. Just to be with them. And help them with just like the basics. Just do cooking and cleaning so that their minds are free to process the tragedy that just happened when those kinds of things happen. So it's very good for a community to be attentive to such circumstances and collectively. There's several examples, but one that's prominent right now. In New York, there was a Bengali family. The husband and wife were travel agents. So they did a nice service for the devotee community in general. And at some point their son died. They weren't even sadhakas. They were just congregation members, nice people. They came to the temple on Sunday. They liked to do that service. The son died. So the whole community just went and stayed at their home. In rotation, they stayed at their home during that mourning period. They did the house cleaning, they did the cooking, they did everything so that the husband and wife could be peaceful and just be there to support them. And, about a month and a half later, I met the husband and wife and they were just overwhelmed at the support that they received from the community. It helped them so much get over that loss. So, similarly, it's nice when a community, as you have here, can extend in that way, in inappropriate ways, in ways that are realistic within our individual means. I could give other examples, but you get the idea. Krishna sets the example, sets the standard. And by his presence, Yudhisthira's
Vishoka, great distress, was mitigated. And then his sister, Svasuhu, his sister, that's Subhadra. So Subhadra, the word that's used is Priya Kamyaya, for the purpose of pleasing his sister. A special support went to Subhadra, because as you know, it says here, but as Subhadra had a son, and the son was Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu became married to Uttara right at the very end of the years of exile. You know the whole story from Mahabharata. For 1 year, the Pandavas are incognito, and they stayed for that 1 year under different names and different, you know, as if they were not who they were, at the kingdom of King Virat. Just a little sharing. After our GBC meeting in Juhu, there was a life member or a member who has a place, a retreat place, a resort place in Mahabaleshwar, south of Pune. So he wanted to host our GBC members to come and just have a GBC retreat. So we did. It's, you know, up, 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 up. There's the stories of Prabhupada visiting there. And on the way up or the way down, whichever, I can't remember, Prabhupada got out of the car and vomited because it's like round and around. Ooh. Way up there. Whatever, the 10,000 feet or something high. Windy roads. And from where the place was that we were based, is an awesome view of a valley where the Krishna River begins to flow. In fact, literally a stone's throw away was a temple. You know these stories. It was said when the Pandavas were in exile, they stayed in this area. Because down in the bottom of the hill, there's a big mountains on three sides, and the river goes out the fourth side, is the place where Domya lived before he became the priest of the Pandavas. So they, in exile, went to the lore that we heard at least. They stayed in that area near the place of their teacher, Domya, Rishi. And then another 150 kilometers that away, down, you know, the direction of the Krishna River, was the kingdom of Virat. So on that final year, they stayed there. And as you know, Arjuna took the part of a eunuch and dance teacher. And his student was Virat's daughter, Uttara. And at the end of that year, to the end of the whole year, is when the Kauravas figured out the Pandavas. They did a little Sherlock Holmes. The general of King Virat got pulverized. And there's only one person that could do that. That's Bhima. The Pandavas. The clock is ticking. We better go there quickly, because the Pandavas, if we find where they are during this 1 year of incognito period, then they have to do another year of incognito, or another, or maybe the cold clock starts over again, another 10 years. So they brought their whole army and began stealing the cows of King Virat. And the cowherds went to the king. Help, protect us, you're the king. So the son of King Virat, you know the whole story. The son of King Virat said, I'll do it. Of course, there are different versions where he said, and Arjuna said, I'll be your chariot driver, come on. So I would do it, except I don't have a chariot driver. I'll be your chariot driver. I know how to drive a chariot. Oh, so I got to go. So anyway, when the son of King Virat was intimidated so intensely by the entire army of the Kauravas, Arjuna said, you drive the chariot. I'll do the fighting, went, got his arrows and celestial weapons, and single-handedly defeated all the Kauravas. Wow. When he came back to the palace, Virat said, who are you? You're not a dance teacher. And look at, you're Arjuna, and he's Bhima, and he's Yudhisthira. And so please marry my daughter. Arjuna said, I can't marry my student. A teacher can't marry his student. But I have another option. I have a son who is of marriageable age, older than your daughter, and he could marry your daughter. Right? So Abhimanyu, the daughter of Subhadra and Arjuna, married Uttara. And lo and behold, by calculation, although the Pandavas' whereabouts were now known, the incognito period had already passed, just passed. And so now they're ready to resume the throne. And you know the whole drama. The Pandavas were saying, no, we don't want to, especially Yudhisthira, no battle, let them take the kingdom. So Krishna went as the messenger. Not a state, not a city, not a village, not the much land you can put under the head of a pin. There must be battle. I cannot live on the same planet with those five brothers. Either I die or they die. So there was a battle. And Abhimanyu was killed during the battle. In a very vicious way. So here's Subhadra, who had lost her only son. And Krishna stayed to please, through his association, he can't be her son, he's his brother. He's her brother. But to please her, show his commitment to her, and his care and concern for her, he stayed with her. And doesn't here give the descriptions of their conversations, but one can imagine many conversations directly where Krishna is pacifying the heart of his sister Subhadra. Now, step back, and Subhadra is, who is she in the spiritual reality? The internal potency. And here's Krishna, the possessor of all potency. Now back to the Leela. It's the sister, and Krishna is pacifying his sister, younger sister. And that's the remark at the end of the purport, where the Lord is always pleased to satisfy his devotees in any capacity. Only his devotees can play the parts of his relatives. The Lord is absolute. The Lord is absolute means many things. That's a nice sentence. The Lord is absolute. So whatever he does, it's perfect. It's all good. Even by worldly standards, it may not appear to be good for us to do. When he does, it's all good because he's absolute. Like his name is absolute. His form is absolute. His activities are absolute. So he can play roles. But it's not just the playing of a role like an actor on the stage. Like sometimes we have dramas and somebody plays the part of Prahlad and somebody plays the part of Hiranyakashipu and somebody plays the part of Lord Nrisimhadev. So now they're Lord Nrisimhadev. We had this whole discussion in our GBC conference about some circumstance where 1971 or two, something like that, 72, there were some drama performers in New York, Vaikuntha players, and when Prabhupada came, they decided, I think it was, forget the occasion, it might have been Balaram's appearance day, they went to a park, like a botanical garden, and two young devotees dressed up as Krishna and Balaram. And it was nice, they were there as Krishna and Balaram, but then some of the devotees started, like, you know, worshipping Krishna and Balaram as these young boy and girl, Krishna Balaram. Prabhupada said, no. They can play the role, but we don't worship one who is playing the role. You got the idea. So sometimes we have dramas in our temples. And it's nice to have Krishna Leela or the devotees of the Lord, Narada Muni and etc., Lord Chaitanya and his associates. But we don't, they're not in themselves worshipable. We can have them stand there and people put flowers at their feet and perform arti. No, that was our GBC conference discussion. Drama, fine. As if that person is Krishna, not fine. Anyway, when Krishna performs these roles, it's a transcendental exchange of love, according to the science of rasa. Subhadra has a mood. She's the internal potency, yogamaya potency, in Leela, Krishna's sister, at least in this particular aspect. And there's a loving exchange as brother and sister, younger sister. And this is rasa. It's very deep. I'll just end with this same thing. In Vidugdha Madhava, Rupa Goswami wrote two dramas, Lalita Madhava and Vidugdha Madhava. It's Lalita Madhava. Vidugdha Madhava is Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Lalita Madhava is Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. And the closing scene of Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka, those of you that have read some of Rupa Goswami's writings, you'll know this. Rupa Goswami states in Vidugdha Madhava that he has Purnamasi say it. Purnamasi is the internal potency, is Yogamaya within Krishna's pastime. So Purnamasi, the mother of Sandipani Muni, is speaking to Gargi, the daughter of Sandipani Muni, explaining the appearance of Radharani. It's a different one than we normally hear. So during that description, Purnamasi says that she learned this from Narada Muni, that Radharani and Lalita were transferred from the womb of their mothers and placed in the womb of Vindhya, because Vindhya wanted to have a son-in-law that would defeat the son-in-law of the Himalayas. Who's the daughter of the Himalayas? Parvati. And she married Lord Shiva. So a son-in-law that would defeat Lord Shiva is Krishna. So he wanted Radha as his daughter. So it's very complicated. But when Kamsa, Purnamasi says, when Kamsa heard from Narada that Krishna has taken his birth somewhere in Gokul, his first demon that he gathered was Putana, with the assignment of kill all the newborn boys and kidnap all the newborn girls. And Gargi says, why did he give that order? Purnamasi says, he was inspired with fear by the words of Narada. So Putana assumed a beautiful form, celestially beautiful form, although she was a witch. And she found the daughters of Vindhya, and she kidnapped them, and she was flying through the air, kidnapping the daughters of Vindhya. The Vindhya turned to his priests, curse Putana. So they uttered curses, and Putana was afraid, so she dropped one of the daughters of Vindhya in a river, and the king Bhishmaka retrieved that daughter. That's Rukmini, by the way. And the other was dropped somewhere in Vrindavan, and Purnamasi said, I took that daughter and entrusted the daughter back to the father and mother, Vrishabhanu and Kirtida, said, this is your daughter. You know that one that was just disappeared from the womb of your wife, that here she is. Very, very intricate. And then later she says, Purnamasi says, that Narada has explained that each of the gopis in Vrindavan have their expansion in another form as the queens in Dwarka. They're two different forms, but they're actually the same person. Got it? Two different forms, but actually the same person. Gargi says, I heard that also, but I don't understand it at all. Maybe that day will come when I'll understand it. Maybe that day will come and we'll also understand it. Maybe. So at the end of Vidagdha Madhava is a scene where Satyabhama realizes that she's Radha, and Krishna in Dwarka realizes that he's Krishna in Vrindavan, and Radha marries Krishna. It's like, what? Radha marries Krishna in Dwarka. And at the end of the wedding, Krishna says to Radha, take some benediction from me, whatever you like. And Radha cleverly asked for two things. And one is, I can't remember the exact words are beautiful, but it's something like, please show your mercy always upon your devotees. And the other is, please keep us and the gopis always engaged in your loving service. Krishna says, so be it. And then there's some question, Radha says, but how is this possible? We're in Dwarka. And how is it that I'm Radha and you're in Krishna and we're in Dwarka? And the internal potency, Yogamaya, who is Subhadra, but is also has another name, Ekanamsa, same personality, draws back a curtain and says, actually, we're in Vrindavan. And that's the end of the drama. So Krishna is engaging in his pastimes through the agency of his Yogamaya potency. here is Subhadra, his sister, who is Yogamaya potency. And he's pacifying her. It's very deep. It's very profound. Because he's the supreme enjoyer. And he enjoys, he's the best of enjoyers. He enjoys loving relationships. Where do you think we get this tendency to enjoy loving relationships? From Krishna. He enjoys loving relationships, and he does so through the agency of his Yogamaya potency, his internal potency. So, how do we get entrance into that internal potency? Part of it is what we're doing right now, just hearing about Krishna's exchanges with his devotees, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's name, Krishna's qualities, bhaktavatsala, exactly what's being described here. Only his devotees can have such exchanges with him. Krishna is absolute. Krishna is absolute. He can do whatever he likes, no problem. And what does he like? He likes loving exchanges, as do we. We're just preoccupied with something that we think is a loving relationship that's not a loving relationship. It's selfishness. And, you know, the whole program. Sense enjoyment and me, I'm at the center and maybe Krishna is somewhere over there. But I'm at the center. And I want a loving relationship. But pure devotees don't have that shortcoming. We do. And by hearing about genuine loving relationships between Krishna and his intimate devotees, it's so attractive. We become attracted to the all-attractive by these wonderful potencies invested in Krishna Katha, which is what Srimad Bhagavatam is, which Prabhupada has so kindly made available to us in a readily readable form. And the BBT is printing and publishing, and for us to read and to distribute these literatures to others. That's the Hare Krishna movement. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.